Well, you know, it's Memorial Day, so it's like the annual Memorial Day movie soundtrack
Oh,
edition.
so we need to do quick saints and really just talk about movies.
Well, no, I mean, we talk about, it's just the music itself is just themed that way.
It's
But I
music
mean,
theme. Okay, I'm glad you reminded me because I was going to do something different. I was going to do piano bar music because it's National Wine Day. Classy podcast this week.
well, that's like one of those classic rom-coms that just have piano music as their soundtrack, so it still could be movie related.
Well, I could find movie piano movie music. Piano, the pianist.
Piano Reeves.
Now that's a cold open.
That would be funny if that was like the standard piano provider for movie soundtracks. Yeah, his name is Piano Reeves.
Just you just came up with that, didn't you?
Yeah.
That's good.
That's what we do.
He's on. He's on tonight. All right.
Just, Happy National Wine Day, everybody!
I like to whine.
Why?
It's fun.
Shut up, Doug.
Oh, shot.
Oh,
Shots
no,
fired.
look, he thought it was the other kind of wine day.
Oh, I can't wait for this episode. What's up, Who Dat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk scale rating right now is a 1 because today is National Wine Day, and I was not going to not drink wine on National Wine Day. And with each passing week, we're getting closer and closer to real football action. Until then, we're going to continue to deliver you episodes chock full of other news and Game of Thrones reviews. This week's topics will include the NFL's continued hatred and rejection of not just the New Orleans Saints, but the city of New Orleans as well. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I am also enjoying National Wine Day. Got a glass right here in front of me. Had a glass earlier for dinner. I will go with a 1.3.
All right. Good for you. Got a little earlier start than I did.
I did still work out. I mean, I really didn't start. I didn't pop open the first glass, make my first glass until maybe 6:45-ish, 7? Oh, no, probably 7, closer to 7.
Okay. All right. Good for you. All right. Damon, welcome to the show. What's your number? Hopefully you have a glass of wine for National Wine Day.
No, I'm not no pussy. I don't drink wine.
Even on National Wine Day, he couldn't do it.
Jeez. Are you eating grapes at least?
I'll have a beer on National Beer Day.
You got like a little box of raisins?
You know, beer could beer would work. It's the wine of wheat.
Okay.
Or as Damon would say, the wine of wheat. The what? Cool whip.
Ooh, you got some pie, eh? Can I have a piece?
Sure.
Ooh, let me have some of that cool whip.
What'd you say?
You can't have a pie without cool whip.
Cool whip?
Cool whip, yeah.
You mean cool whip?
Yeah, Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
You're saying it weird. Why are you putting so much emphasis on the H?
What are you talking about? I'm just saying it. Cool Whip. You put Cool Whip on pie. Pie tastes better with Cool Whip.
Say whip.
Whip.
Now say Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
You're eating hair!
He would say wheat.
He would. All right, let's get into headlines.
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman, and this is Eye on Springfield.
Well, the first headline I'm going to bring up is there was an article on SB Nation written by Adam Stitties. Yeah, I'm going to call him Stitties. It's probably Stites, but I want to call him Stitties for the article that he wrote. Basically, it's saying that the Saints are suffocating themselves by clinging to Drew Brees. And he talked about the $30 million against the salary cap this year and how the Saints are the worst salary cap team, and he's blaming Breeze for it, and talked about how we basically shopped for discount players like James Laurinaitis and Nick Fairley this offseason, and that our draft picks are going to be an exercise in patience, and that I don't know if he's trying to say we should have got rid of Drew Breeze. I mean, he's still under contract. I don't understand why they're saying we're clinging to Drew Brees. He's still under contract, so you play with him, right?
Well, of course. That's just fucking stupid. I mean, look, I don't know who Titties is, but
I know what they look like, but I don't know who he is.
Right, I don't know who he is. I don't know. Is he does he just do Saints news or blogs?
No, he probably
is he a national guy? I mean, is it SB Nation? That's Super Bloggers Nation or something like that.
I mean, now, if SB Nation does branch out and maybe, host more local, As the Valley Shook is kind of an SB Nation site, and the Bird Rights for the Pelicans. It's kind of like it's the Bird Rights, but it's super SB Nation kind of, related. They kind of maybe host everything for them, but it sounds like this dude's just a national guy. But I think,
Adam covers the NFL for SB Nation and the SEC for SEC Country. He's also a freelance writer in Phoenix, Arizona, with bylines in the Arizona Republic, among other publications. He previously covered Arizona State football for Rivals, and he can be followed on Twitter. And I'm not even going to give his Twitter name because fuck him.
Well, he's just doing this to piss off Saints fans, right?
It's probably an opposition piece or something like that. And what's worse is it's obvious that he's not close to any of the situation.
He's in fucking Arizona.
Geographically or realistically, because part of his thing is he's saying, of course, the Saints could get a reprieve soon if the contract extension with Breeze defers some of his salary cap. Well, now you're contradicting yourself, because if we did an extension, then we're talking about clinging to Drew Brees. And he goes on to further cite how Brees told Sirius XM Radio that he feels good about us getting the extension in April. He's referencing something that was done in April. And if you know Drew Brees and you know the Saints situation, you know that's bullshit.
Look, you've already wasted too many words on this topic.
Yeah. I mean, that's stupid. There's 25 other teams, if not more, who would take Drew Brees tomorrow at his current salary.
But they wouldn't be clinging to him because he didn't play for them.
They would be. Yeah. They cling to him just like, fuck, yes, I'm clinging to him. I don't want him to fucking leave.
Fucking Osweiler got a $72 million contract. Okay? That shows you how desperate teams are. Sanchez is still in the league. That's just stupid. Drew Brees is still top quarterback in the league and gives you so many teams a chance to fucking win. Like I said, Houston gave, asshole $72 million. What do you think they would have given Breeze?
Right.
100.
Even at his advanced age,
he's going to be better than old Brock Osweiler.
Right. That makes
the worst of it all is his whole entire article hinged on the reference point of Kobe Bryant. And how basically we're doing the same things that the Lakers Kobe Bryant.
I thought you said Colby.
I said Kobe. I dragged the O and it sounded like an L. I realized what I said.
Kobe.
With Kobe. Kobe Bryant.
Well, except that in the NBA, I mean, the rest of their team is shit. There was no chance for them to realistically win anything this year. So he was a draw. Whereas, look, in the NFL, things can happen. If our defense just doesn't be the worst ever.
And to add to his argument, he said about with the whole Kobe Bryant thing was that Kobe Bryant's declining talent and skill and ability to play contributed to the problem, which I think we've kind of said in past episodes. There's no decline in talent with Drew Brees yet.
I mean, he's top five. We all know that.
It's just an article that I just needed to bring up and just say,
okay,
fuck this guy.
Yeah, good. Fuck him. Fuck him big time. It's stupid. It had to be just because look, every single Saints fan that reads that is going to get pissed off and say, no, you're a fucking idiot.
Fans will read that and say, yeah, we should do something about this.
Well, fuck them even more.
Yeah.
Next headline, USA Today ranks NFL head coaches. Sean Payton comes in at number 5. The description says there's no offensive coach in the NFL better at creating favorable matchups than Sean Payton. That's how the Saints offense remains in the top half of the league. How about top third or even top?
Right. I mean, you're right.
We've never been below 6.
Top half of the league without elite talent at the receiver position.
And we've never had, that's true. We've never had elite talent at receiver.
Right. While most other quarterbacks see all their production fall off when their top targets go down, Drew Brees just keeps putting up 4,000-yard seasons.
And he makes 50, receivers.
He was 50 away from 5, which would have been, what, 4,000 or 5,000
yeah,
yards?
Yeah, 4 years out of 5, he'd have got 5,000 yards.
Yep.
Who did they have in front of him? Do you want to guess?
So I'll say Aaron Rodgers, and I'll say Tom Brady.
No. It's coaches. Jason,
are you listening to the show?
I was looking up another.
Jason's taking my place tonight and not paying attention to things. I'm on point.
Yep. Sorry about
that. Okay, I would guess Pete Carroll.
Fuck Pete Carroll.
I'm not saying I agree with it, but I'm thinking USA Today is going to go ahead and put him up there.
Well, I mean, Belichick.
Oh, yeah, Belichick's got to be number one.
Yeah.
All right, so who has...
Because he's the model coach.
Who has multiple? Does he? I mean, Tomlin has multiple Super Bowls. They didn't put Tomlin above Peyton, right?
No.
I wouldn't think so.
Coughlin's retired, so he can't be in there, right?
You're correct. You have number one and number two.
Who do we have? Oh,
Pete Carroll is number two?
Yeah, Pete Carroll is number two.
Oh, my God.
Well, he did kind of turn around Seattle.
He did.
I don't think.
I don't think you're going to get these. I mean,
they're not going to put.
Tell me fucking Ron Rivera.
No, they might put the guy for the Cardinals.
You got number three. Yeah. Bruce Arians.
Green Bay coach.
No, you're not going to get this because, Mike Zimmer.
There?
Mike Zimmer with the Vikings.
Vikings, okay.
Wow. Really?
Look, he's what a good coach.
He is a good coach.
What's the reason they gave?
Yeah, Zimmer is the most creative defensive play caller in the league.
Oh, Peyton's the most creative offensive play caller in the league. Oh. Defense wins championships. There you go.
Even though Minnesota has 0.
That is correct.
I'm surprised they have Andy Reid at number 10. I mean, maybe I'd argue with,
Well, Andy Reid's problem is he can't win the big game.
We can't win in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Those are big games.
Yeah.
He's won a few playoff games, but just can't big.
So. I mean, yeah, playoff.
Andy Reid will drive the car to the movie theater, but he'll accidentally buy 3D tickets. I'm the Andy Reid of the Dome Patrol podcast.
I saw it in 2D again this past weekend. I had so much fun. So much better.
Yeah.
Right. Well, wait. you want to know where the Falcons coach ranks?
Yes.
Is he quitting?
He number 26.
Yeah. Excellent.
That's about right.
And then the sucker of the bunch, I guess, number 32 with Mike Mularkey of the Tennessee Titans.
Thank God he's not our coach.
Yeah, and the Buccaneers coach, Dirk Cotter, is number 31.
Oh, that's right. He's the head coach now. Wow. Yes. And Tampa has better Super Bowl. Oh, no, never mind. They worse than ours. Still, Dirk Cotter. Wow.
All right.
I mean, what? Man, I mean, fuck Tampa. Fuck them. I'm glad they're...
Surprised you figured they might put Ron Rivera ahead of Peyton with all the fucking Panther love.
Yeah, he's had a season and a half of his good football. He can go fuck himself.
The Saints did sign Vincent Brown.
I like that.
Receiver.
I like that move. You need some veteran leadership in your wide receiver core.
And if for some reason he somehow gets it back and has something and can produce, then, you know, it's a nice little bonus, sure.
Did you say boner?
I said bonus.
Oh, all right.
I didn't say breezes either.
All right.
I mean, look, he was okay as a rookie. He's battled injuries, so there's not a lot of expectations with this guy, but he's only 27, so who knows?
And now it's time for Look at Him Tweets.
Hey.
One of the tweets I think we should talk about is, maybe not even talk about, but we'll at least mention, congratulate Neil for winning a Drew Brees jersey in England.
Hey, Neil, thank God it wasn't Jeff, because that would have cursed Brees, so thank God you won it.
I'd love to know how you, like, tweet us back, Neil, and tell us, how did you win it? What did you do? Like,
was it a contest based out of Europe, or?
If that's the case, there's only one person in the contest, and it was Neil.
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
Hey, Nier probably entered too.
Nier, yeah, Nier and Neil. Yeah. All of our European listeners.
All yeah, two of them.
All right. Or something.
So obviously that voice you just heard is Doug, which we've referenced a few times on the podcast. He's been a guest on the show. Welcome to the show, Doug. What's your number?
Oh, I'm at a zero.
Oh, geez. You know today's National Wine Day, right?
Well, I'm with some whiny bitches. So that makes sense.
See, I told you he thought it was the other wine day.
All right, and the reason Doug's on the show is because Doug had shots fired on Twitter today, which, of course, we got to bring him on so that him, Jason, Damon could have it out. This is the Dome Patrol Podcast Civil War edition of Look at Him Tweet. So let me just kind of recap everybody who was not on Twitter, but Doug went ahead and tweeted that Drew Brees is now a short-term solution at QB. He'll be 38 at the end of this coming season. But that's actually not the shots fired ones. But let's talk about that one first. Last episode,
y'all were talking about how he was a long-term solution and build around him. You don't have.
We said that?
I don't think we said long-term. I mean, we've all been pretty consistent.
Jason, you said long-term. That is why I tweeted it. As I was listening to it, I heard it. That's why I tweeted it. He's not a long-term solution anymore.
By long-term, I mean 3 or 4 years.
I mean, that's not really long-term.
It's not long-term. That's why if I said long-term.
It's like your cock is 3 or 4 inches. It's not long-term.
In Jason's defense, he was probably a 2 or 3 when he was talking.
Right. Somebody had to keep the level up because these two douchebags weren't. So
that's probably a good thing.
Okay, so we're clear on that. Drew Brees is not a long-term solution. He's a short-term solution.
But he's the foreseeable. So, like, I'd rather go with him for the next 3-4 years.
But see, I don't know that you're going to. I mean, honestly, do you really think you're going to get 3 or 4 years out of him? I think we're going to sign him to a 4-year deal. But I think the one problem that we're going to have with that 4-year deal is we'll be lucky if we get 2 years in addition to the 1 year he's under contract right now.
I think whatever deal he signs, the last year will probably be with the year that we cut him and we take a bunch of dead money. I'm kind of
vindicated. Well, see, I'm thinking it's going to be more like the last 2 years we're going to have to eat a lot of dead money.
So with Brees, you're talking about Brees.
Well, right. Yeah.
I mean, I just don't see. I don't see. He can give us 3 or 4 years. I don't see that much of a fall off.
But again, you're saying three. You think he's good for three, maybe four more good years, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. He's under contract for one of those.
For one, right?
So now you're saying that the best case scenario, he's good for 3 years, and you're going to have to give him a 4-year deal to spread the money out.
Well, you're at least
going to get 2 good years out of him. You're rolling a dice in the third year, and you're completely writing off the fourth.
Sure, yeah.
So you're talking about getting your ass kicked for the last 2 years of his contract, not one.
Look, whenever he is, like I said last
week. We've been getting our asses kicked by his contract for the past 5 years.
Well, we've been getting kicked by dead money. But look, like I said last week, the year or two when he is not our starting quarterback, it's going to suck.
Yeah.
There's no way we're going to find a replacement that we can just continue and still be relevant. We are going to, and I think like Peyton's going to leave, Breeze is going to leave. It's full-on complete rebuild until we find the next quarterback. So give me 3 years, and I'll make that 1 or 2 year sack.
Well, Damon, did you tell him talk about the Andrew Luck shit that we talked about earlier?
No, I didn't bring that up.
You know, he's going to be he's in his fifth year of his contract right now, the fifth year extension. If they don't do a long term deal with him next year and they franchise tag him, he's going to be an unrestricted free agent.
There's no chance in hell the Colts let him leave. No chance. But he's going to get the richest contract in the history of the NFL.
And you don't think Drew Brees is going to want the richest contract in the history of the NFL?
He's
too old.
Well,
I think he is too, but the problem is he's going to be unrestricted. There's somebody out there that's willing to pay him.
Well, that's why we need. I'd rather get an extension done. We can't afford to have him hit free agency. And today at the softball deal, he said he doesn't talk about contracts during the season. So if it's going to get done, it's going to get done before the season starts.
Right. So.
And if it doesn't get done, then it's him. It's all him, because you don't think Mickey Loomis has thought of all these different scenarios and isn't planning for them and preparing for them.
Look, I know.
If it doesn't get done, means Drew Brees wants to shop.
I mean, look, I know that Brees wants money. There's no doubt about that. So,
no, he doesn't want money. He wants max deal money.
Wow.
And, I mean, and there's a difference. I mean, look, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, towards the end of their careers, took pay cuts, took step downs, didn't maximize their value when they went and played while they're playing their last stops.
Yeah, but Brady's wife, Brady's married, so that's why he does that, dog. Don't you know that?
Yeah, I've heard that bullshit before too. I mean,
look, we don't need to rehash this. We know Breeze is a money grubbing asshole, and uh-huh. Other guys take less money, and Breeze doesn't.
And married better than Breeze did.
Well, and he Brady married doesn't. Better.
Well, sorry. God knows I did that, so I can't complain. But look, the money that Breeze is going to try to squeeze out of everybody at the end of this is beyond, I mean, he could sign a deal tomorrow and make me look like a total ass, and I would be thrilled to have that happen. But
I was going to say, maybe Breeze recognizes that he will be 38 the end of the season.
If any of his contract negotiations or any indication, no, he won't. He has felt like he has been shorted, all puns intended, his entire life. Uh-huh. And he has banged out or tried to bang out everybody for every contract extension he's ever had.
But he got his deal.
He's not looking at it as
But you're a 38-year-old quarterback in the NFL trying to get 29, 30-year-old quarterback money.
And I'm sorry.
He doesn't think like that.
What he thinks is that
he is playing better than most of the 29, 30-year-old quarterbacks in the NFL.
He knows how good he is, and he knows what he's worth.
But don't you think the high risk, I mean, each year
he doesn't care. He wants
I understand he doesn't care, but if I'm negotiating against him, that's my thing. Like, I can't give you that kind of money.
Why do you think hasn't been an extension yet?
Boom.
The truth is, it's like arguing with a woman. he knows what he knows, and he knows what he wants, and that's all he knows, and that's all he wants, and that's all he cares about. He's not going to – the fact is the Saints – I don't believe Saints are going to give him a max deal contract.
So you say if he prepared that this is Drew Brees' last year as a New Orleans.
Yes, yes, yes. It's possible that – that could change, but I mean, if you look at it, the last two seasons he's had goofy little injuries, which haven't seemed like, you know, haven't been much, but the strained oblique.
Well, his shoulder got destroyed. The oblique.
Well, that was last year. Well, the oblique, his throwing was off. He had to go back and retool his whole game from an oblique thing. And next season, it's a shoulder injury, and it's nothing. Look, he's not. It's not the end of the world. He's fucking almost 40 years old. You don't bounce back like you did 10 years ago.
Right.
So the little things that he might have shrugged off 10 years ago, he isn't shrugging off.
But
now.
How old was Brett Favre when he brought Minnesota to New Orleans in the NFC Championship?
Drew Brees 41. Isn't Brett Favre.
Drew Brees isn't Brett Favre.
No, you know what?
Drew Brees doesn't have Adrian Peterson in the background, in the backfield.
Brett Favre.
But how old was Brett Favre?
Brett Favre is an animal. You could take a baseball bat to Brett Favre.
Okay, the next tweet we got to talk about. That was a long tweet. Next tweet is Doug, and this is why he's on the show for real, is where he was listening to last week's episode where apparently Jason and Damon were talking about ticket prices, and Jason pays about $50 a ticket per game. And Doug says, no one that pays $50 per ticket should really call themselves a season ticket holder. Hashtag no skin in the game. To which Neil... remember Neil, came back and said, Damon is right. There's some real idiots on Twitter.
Shot fired, right?
Nice job, Neil.
Right? And then Doug did say Jason spends more on Disney per year. And nice little at Disney, Doug, that you threw Disney a little.
And hey, look, I can't deny it.
Right? Per year, then he does true. Saints. And he has the nerve to make fun of the club people.
I didn't make fun of the club people.
Then he said, Dallas fans pay almost as much as Jason for standing room only tickets. Jason says because they're morons. Fuck Jason gets in this. Apparently there's a Twitter account.
What?
Called Fuck Jason.
It can't be just me.
Damon, I'm
on the joint Twitter.
Well, wait a second. Speaking of that, I'm on Twitter. I don't see any. How the fuck do you follow that? I don't find.
Bullshit.
You're not following us then.
That's got to be Damon.
But it isn't easy. I am on Twitter trying to follow this conversation as you're reading it. I don't see anything about Doug saying,
Damon,
welcome
all you
got to
do
Disney.
Is go. Damon, just go to Don't.
I'm on. I am on Don't Patrol podcast page.
.com.
I see. No, it's Don't Patrol PCAST.
No, that's the Twitter account. Go to
right. I'm on the Twitter account.
Go to the website, DontPatrolPodcast.com.
Okay. I'm on the website.
And on the right side, we have the Twitter feed that you can follow.
Right, I see
somebody that tweets at Don't Patrol Podcast.
Okay, right, and I see Don't Patrol Podcast last chance to comment. Then I see Neil and Doug people picking sides, Civil War. Then I see
There it is. You just gotta scroll it down, asshole.
No. Then the very next one says, we'll be discussing this tweet on the show.
Because it works in reverse.
$50 a ticket.
Keep scrolling.
All right. Either way.
I can't follow you.
So. Here's the bottom line. So whoever this fuck Jason is, which I believe is Damon, says, I agree Jason isn't much of a fan. And
I agree with fuck Jason, but no, it's not me.
Jason says that Doug just pissed off half the dome because he did reference that the entire terrace section shouldn't be considered.
Who said that?
Well, Jason, that good point. So let's leave. All right, half it out, guys. Doug, Jason, Civil War, go. Jason, you get the response because Doug fired
first
shot.
Okay. Look, it's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. I pay $50. You pay whatever, $250, $300, whatever you pay. We both watch the same game in the same building. So who made off better? I'm going to go ahead and say me.
Well, hold on. Let me respond to it. Jason, you sat in our seats.
Those seats were nice. I'm not going to say they weren't.
They were nice. They were nice.
They were nice. It was a good atmosphere. Man. But here's the thing. You know, you badmouth the terrace. The terrace section is what gives the dome its home field advantage.
No one can hear you.
You're out
there.
Of your fucking mind.
No one can hear y'all up there.
You're a mile away from the fucking field.
So you're
excited about God the fucking scoreboard so that you can finally see the fucking game.
So here's the thing. So I went to another game last year and sat in the middle section. It wasn't when I went with Damon. I went to another seat and I couldn't get over how people did not yell at all. It was a weird phenomenon that happened. I'm like, why are you not cheering? Why are you not yelling? No, people just, they're on their phones. They're doing whatever. And that is the biggest difference. Up in the terrace, like, we care. Up in the middle sections, yeah, you might care.
Apparently you don't care enough to support the team because you're only giving them fucking right. $6 bucks. By the second preseason game, we have exceeded our contribution to the New Orleans Saints and keeping them in the city than you have by the second preseason game.
So again, who's smarter for paying $200 less to see the same game in the same building? Okay.
I don't know. You're dumping all the money to Disney. I mean, I'm just thinking your priorities are different.
Hey,
you want to make Walt Disney a fucking more of a billionaire than Tom Benson. Go ahead.
He's dead. He's got no more money coming his way.
Well, Tom Benson's debatable.
He ain't dead. He's frozen. He's still there.
He'll be back.
Look, when you sit in the Superdome, whether I sit in my seat, or whether I sit in your seat, or whether I sit in the lower section, it doesn't make that much of a difference. You can't see the player's face. You can't see that through there. And some of the people in the lower corners, you can't see the other half of the fucking field. Where I'm sitting, I see the entire game. And when it matters, when you want to pay, when it makes that much more of a difference to sit down low, like at a basketball game. That's where you want to spend your money to sit low. I sit low there. It makes it so much more of a difference sitting there compared to sitting in the
arena. Well, you sit low there, but you don't sit in the center.
Everything's low in the arena.
Right. I mean, you've been to the tickets I get for the Pelicans games, and you've been to, and you've seen where he sits. Which seats are better?
Well, sure, are the better because we're in the center court. You know, we can watch the whole. You know, what you just said about the people in the corner in the Superdome applies to you at the Pelicans game.
Well, right,
you're
right,
behind the basket.
You know what? Those tickets in the middle, my tickets on the side, same row up. I'm paying a third of the price, and I'm still close. So far,
all you've argued about is that you're fucking saving money.
I'm not a fan because I pay less than you.
Hold on a minute. I'm the cheapskate on this show, all
right?
I don't know. Jason's making a good argument for himself.
This is a great episode for me.
Jason's been haggling it down a little bit at a time.
I'm smart. I save so much more money than you guys, and we see the same game and have. I have just appointment.
First of all, you have to fight the hordes to get into your seats.
Then
you have to fight the hordes to get up the fucking Concord.
I don't.
To your seats.
I don't.
If you got to go take a piss, you got to fight the hordes to do that.
I don't.
If you want to get something to eat, you got to fight the hordes. And all of the fucking rabble and the noise with a bunch of jack-offs, a bunch of fucking drunk cocksuckers who can't fucking...
But I got to say, there's a part of me, Doug.
Hey.
Let me. One, how would you know if you ever been up there? Number, which you probably
yes,
have.
I've walked amongst the unclean before.
Okay. Number two is some people like that environment better than the stuff shirts.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, some people like a cock up their ass too. I mean, what the fuck?
Doesn't make it right.
Yeah. Yeah, what can I tell you? There's somebody that likes to be laid out on a table and have somebody shit in their chest. That's fucking normal.
I think they're called a Cleveland Steamer.
Oh, my God.
Johnny Manziel.
Or it's called the Terrace. I mean,
Steamer.
You know, it just, look, from the Terrace, and this you can't argue with, look, our seats are 1,000 times better for watching the game.
They're more comfortable. We have more room.
No, watching the game, we're closer to the field.
I get a great view from where we're at. I can see.
No, you don't.
You bullshit.
I can see plays develop.
How do you know?
No, you don't.
You can see plays develop from up there. It's a great view. I'd much rather sit where I am than sit in my same spot, but on the first level. You can't see half the fucking field.
I would say, as far as terrace As far as terrace seats go, Jason's seats are good.
Look, you can see all the field, but so can I. I got great views of everything.
But you're way too far. You cannot see the same shit.
Bullshit.
You can't see. I mean, can you tell that the game going on? Yeah, I'm sure you can. You know, but you can't see the same. The only advantage you might have is that you can see if a field goal goes in because we're in the center. You know.
Well, Jason's not behind the goalpost.
Nah, but he's on the side.
But I can still see. Right, I can still see.
Wait, you're in a corner in the terrace? Well,
I can't see it on my side, but on the other side, I can definitely tell when the field goal goes.
Right, and then again, Jason, the one game I brought him to, you know, if our listeners who follow this, you know. Jason,
he was obnoxious.
Fussing at people. And, right, and this grandfather taking his lovely grandson down the
you brought the riffraff
stairs, and Jason's calling them assholes. You know, I mean, he's an elderly man taking his grandson to a football game, and Jason is screaming asshole.
And he says, "My name is Doug."
Right.
You know,
hey,
Jeff. You've got the tickets to any games I don't make this year.
All right. I hope you don't make
it. Hey, look, they left the games fucking early. They didn't cheer. Fuck them.
Didn't you miss a game because you were in Disney?
Not.
Yes, because he had to go pay homage to the fucking mouse.
Right.
He had to go give the mouse a fucking
pay
thousand
homage
dollars.
To them.
Right. Right.
He can't give the Saints $1,000. No. Right. He's got to go get fucking Mickey Mouse. He's got to go spend his money
but
in Florida
least,
instead
but at
of
least,
Louisiana.
Look, in Jason's defense, at least Jason is going to the games. I mean, you need people to fill up the terrace in order to create the full
also
hold
out
stadium.
That's why they make the tickets so cheap.
Hold on. This whole fucking conversation was started by a guy who regularly misses games every fucking season. Every fucking season you miss games, so don't tell me shit about being a real fan.
And shots fired across the other bow.
That's all you need to know. Like, it's, you know, like, whatever.
I mean, Jason,
you
feel like we're on
I've been a season ticket holder
here.
For 12 years.
Yeah, so have I. So
no,
have I.
Yeah. No, you've been a season ticket holder since 2001.
Okay, so 15 years.
Yeah, nice math.
I've been a season ticket holder since 1989.
Yeah, we know, we've heard.
Yeah, we've heard the deal. Fine, good.
Nobody cares, Damon.
Good. So you're saying the whole terrace are not fans? Good. Okay, good. Good for you. You just pissed off half the fucking dome.
We just said that you're not.
Yeah, right. I didn't say anything about the rest of them.
Right. You did.
You said anybody you can afford to upgrade.
You choose to spend your money in different ways.
I choose not. You know what? I feel comfortable up there. What can I say? I like my spot up there.
Where his people are, Doug.
Yeah, I don't want to move.
Why do you have to buy the most expensive ticket in order to qualify to be a better Saints fan?
Well, hold on. No. We didn't say he wasn't a Saints fan. We just said, or Doug just said that he wasn't. Don't call yourself a season ticket holder.
Right.
But technically, he is a season ticket holder.
And technically, Caitlyn Jenner's a man. Because he has cock and balls.
This fucking hoity-toity L.A. lifestyle.
We're going to move on to NFL Reach Around.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
All right, so the reason we're talking about the NFL reach around is because the Super Bowl bid for the, 2019, 2021 came in, and the 2021 Super Bowl will be in L.A. The 2020 Super Bowl will be in, they say, South Florida. Why can't they say Miami? I guess because the stadium's not technically in Miami.
Maybe, I'm not sure.
And the 2019 Super Bowl will not be in New Orleans, but will rather be in Shitlanta.
I want y'all go first.
It's not surprising. Obviously, they don't care about the Super Bowl experience for fans or media or team. They care about the money. And when they fleece taxpayers to build these new stadiums, of course that's what they're going to offer. It's not really surprising. Like, I understand it. Look, I know that New Orleans is the best city to host a Super Bowl in, but I understand, like, the NFL doesn't care about us. The owners care about money in themselves and rewarding the taxpayers for paying $400 and $500 million to buy a stadium that they'll then ask to replace in 20 years. Unfortunately, it's just the way of the NFL. And look, you know, I've said it.
As is evidenced by all the cities that are host. I mean, Minnesota will be hosting a Super Bowl.
Right. Like, that's going to be miserable for
Houston.
People. All these
Houston
places.
This year. Super. I mean, yeah, you build a new stadium, you get a Super Bowl.
Look,
the fans don't go to the Super Bowl.
Right.
Yeah, it's too expensive.
The Super Bowl tickets are all sold to corporate
destination
entities and
right. It's a destination.
All the other shit. So nobody's – you're not getting – it's not like – the Super Bowl's in New Orleans, so hey, why don't the four of us buy tickets and go to it?
But I don't think that's why we care. We care because we just want, as residents of New Orleans, to host
Well, New Orleans has been so good to the NFL in the 70s and 80s before the NFL and the Super Bowl is what it is, okay? You can definitely argue the fact, and you can put Miami in there with you, with it, that these two cities, you know, made the Super Bowl experience what they are. And especially New Orleans with the location of Superdome, everything within walking distance. And Jason, what you just said, you can ask Doug at the conversation we had earlier today where I said the exact same thing. The NFL, they don't care about the fan experience. They don't give a shit. It's about money. And you're right. They reward the cities that, that they fleece with a Super Bowl. I mean, that's how you entice
maybe eventually that's going to end.
And don't the host cities offer them cash incentives? On top of having built a stadium for you, we're going to give you $5 million to come in here and bring
cities have to pay the NFL to put this on, and they say it's, you know, whatever.
It's free for
$800 million impact, but these cities don't net that because they have to pay to put all
kind of like the Olympics.
Oh, well, no, the Olympics is way worse.
But I said kind of. Not exactly.
Well, I mean, look, I think it would be silly to say that there's no economic impact. I didn't say there was no impact. But I mean, I think the cash that we sell out is that the cities shell out is a 10% discount on what they're making. So it probably isn't that bad, regardless of what host city it is.
Right.
The problem is, who the fuck wants to go to Minnesota in January and February? The fuck wants to go to Buffalo or any of these other, you know, I mean, look.
Ever.
L.A., once L.A. gets a stadium, they're going to have, they'll host it regularly for as long as they can fucking keep a team there.
Okay.
You know, Miami makes sense. Atlanta, meh.
For the first 50 years, the Super Bowl was never in a northern city.
Well, that's because back in those days we actually used our fucking heads and didn't worry about bullshit.
We weren't politically correct about everything.
Not only that, you had all these old states. You know, it wasn't the status quo of, hey, build us an 800 to 1 point whatever billion dollar stadium, and then you get a Super Bowl. It didn't. We were playing on these old stadiums. They didn't care. They're just like, hey, what city do we want to go where we can play the game? Weather won't be shitty, and people will have a good time.
I said back then you had the players having a good time, too.
Yeah. Which, kudos to the Saints for not having a good time before the game, and that's why they won. All right, so here's all right, next question about this is, how much does it sting that Atlanta, of all cities to get it instead of us, it goes to Atlanta? Like, why couldn't you give it to Miami in 2019 and Atlanta in 2020?
Because they award Super Bowls to cities who build metal assholes.
Right. And look, we saw it coming after what they did the year before.
Right, with the Minnesota.
And again, the NFL, like I said, I know they don't give a fuck, you know, but I think it would have, and God knows they need some fucking good, you know, some good publicity. I think it would have been very good if last year they'd have done two super, you know, awarded two.
Done the two. Give it to us in Minnesota. Right.
Give it to 18 New Orleans. They're celebrating their 300th year. We can build off of that too,
right?
And then 19 minutes, you know, that's what they should have fucking
done. That's definitely what they should have.
Right. And then we can't really be contenders for the other years because the
Mardi Gras
championship, Mardi Gras. Right.
I was surprised about the when you said the college championship because like that's a month earlier. They couldn't do both.
Yeah, we could do both. We could, New Orleans, if any city could pull off both, it's New Orleans.
Because really, like when I looked at it, it's like,
could you imagine if you had the BCS championship?
Well, how late are they playing the championship?
I mean, normally it's like January, I don't know, like 10th through the 15th, and the Super Bowl's not until February, February.
But Jason, talking about 2 weeks, that's a big, that's a lot. I mean, these are two huge events. That's a lot.
But you don't
understand how much.
Okay, it might be a lot, but we'd have had a better shot. We'd have had a better shot going against Miami and their renovations. That's why they
right. That's
we'd have
why
a much better
it.
Shot going up against Miami than going up against Atlanta's new stadium.
All All right, so let me ask you this. Can New Orleans bid for the year after L.A. at this point? I mean, can we just keep bidding?
Yeah.
Well, hold on. You cities are invited to bid.
Okay, because in the region,
everybody can't bid. You're invited.
Okay.
But wait a sec. Go ahead.
I was just going to say hopefully if we're invited to bid, there's no new stadiums on the horizon.
You possibly have San Diego and Las Vegas.
And Las Vegas, yeah.
With the Raiders and, the Chargers.
Yeah.
Damn it. Everybody's building a new. So then that leads to this question. How long is it going to take for New Orleans to build a new stadium?
Hopefully we don't need a new stadium. We don't. If it's at the sacrifice.
Apparently, if you want to host the Super Bowl, you do.
We put all this money into renovations, and our state budget is shit. We would never even pay for the stadium. The only issue would come when the Saints' lease is up in 2025. Is it going to be a case of where, hey, we'll stick around if you build a new stadium? That would be the only way that we should.
Well, okay. All right. Doug and I had the conversation earlier, and I'll explain to you. And you're right about a lot of these stadiums that where these states and cities are getting fleeced. Now, the one thing with the Superdome, you cannot say that this building the Superdome in 1975, that the Superdome has been an albatross to the city or state. It has brought in, again, plenty of Super Bowls, national championships, concerts, events. The Superdome, it stands on its own two feet. It's paid for itself, and it makes money. Okay, so the Dome, unlike, Minnesota, I don't know who the fuck's, like you said, who the fuck's going to Minnesota, okay? So having a stadium is fine. Now, I don't believe that we need two stadiums, all right? If the money's there, I don't know how you do it, but do something like they did in Chicago with Soldier Field and Minnesota this year or last year. Have the Saints play.
You would have to play at LSU. That'd be like
play at LSU. Tear the Dome down, and the stadium has to be right there.
Right.
I agree with that.
Right. You can't build next door.
You can't build on the West Bank. You can't build out in LaPlace.
You can't build in the East.
You can't.
You keep coming back to the same problem, is that all of the where they build a new. If they were to build a new stadium. The NFL doesn't give a shit. They don't care convenient that the Superdome's located the way that the Superdome and that the city works for the fan experience and the visitors' experience that are coming in for the game doesn't really mean shit to the NFL. They don't care.
Right, Doug. But let me just follow up. We don't need a new stadium. Let me follow something Damon was saying, because I think, why do you have to tear it down? Because the external structure is perfect and it's iconic. Okay, why, like Soldier Field, right? Why can't we just gut it and then
build the inside?
Right, that's basically what we've done.
And right, but didn't
we? Yeah,
didn't,
we can. We never did.
We spent four.
Yeah, but remember, didn't they add it to the National List of Historic Registries? That limits what we can do.
Oh, because of that stupid Tulane bitch.
It's everything for the cameras and all of the shit that they need for the broadcasting that we've updated with that $400 million.
Well, then by that logic, we don't need to. We're just basically year over year making incremental enhancements to where we'll become a viable contender again.
But again, it has nothing. Stop. Right. We didn't get the Super Bowl because the Dome is outdated.
I think because everybody else built a new stadium.
Exactly.
That's a different reason, Jeff. That's not the same thing.
Right, right.
You don't think that you have a new stadium? Not. This one's not new, is not a leap.
No.
You're looking at it totally the wrong way. Because they built it, they get it. That's
right, right.
Uh-huh.
Because if you built it, it will come.
Right, exactly.
Because state money and local money and tax dollars were spent to enrich the NFL owners. That's why they get a Super Bowl.
So then what it really says is that the way that these projects got approved by states is the NFL came in and said, guaranteed, once you finish building this thing, we'll at least host one Super Bowl there.
Pretty much.
Right, right. And those teams don't.
Minnesota will never host another Super Bowl after this.
Not after this one. No.
Right. Well, look at Detroit. Detroit got a Super Bowl.
Ford Field. Yeah, they're not getting another.
They're not getting another
right.
one.
Right.
Here's the good thing. Pray to God that in 2019. No. 2019, we're in the Super Bowl.
Right. Or like the Saints, we actually still have a chance. Breeze right. and his 41-year-old body is somehow getting
right.
wins.
If we win that Super Bowl in 2019, that would be the biggest shit on Atlanta of all time. I mean, they couldn't compete with that.
Do you realize how many Saints fans would go?
Oh, my God. I would go to that game. I'd go to that game just to wear a Super Bowl.
So one
Saints jersey in Atlanta.
There might be 150 to 200,000 Saints fans in the city of Atlanta if that happened.
All right. So at this point, we're going to go ahead and close the show because we're now at enough time to close the show. But for those of you who want the Game of Thrones stuff, it's going to come after the closing of the show. For those of you who don't want the Game of Thrones stuff, you can stop listening now. That's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on iTunes, Android, or Google Play, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast. Again, stay tuned for the Game of Thrones review if that's what you're interested in. But until then, say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, non-Game of Thrones watching donkeys.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.
So at this point, yes, spoilers ahead. We are talking about the latest episode of Game of Thrones. I wish I knew the episode title, but who cares?
Yeah, I do. The Door.
Oh, that's right. Holy shit. Do we open with that conversation talking about Hodor?
And just such a crazy callback. I mean, think about the first time you saw Hodor. All he did was say Hodor. I was like, man, why the fuck does he say Hodor? There's got to be...
Do you remember 2 episodes ago when I said... Hodor,
you did.
Gonna mean thank you, Doug.
You did. I remember you saying it. I got to give you credit.
Thank you, sir. That's all I want.
But I wonder, but
that will not get cut.
Of course, he's the one editing this week.
Oh, no.
In fact, that's going to be featured.
Right. That's going to be the cold open, the cold middle, and the cold close.
I may not be right about anything about the Saints, but I'm right.
But now... I haven't read the books. Is Hodor in the book?
Yes, he is.
Period.
I mean the Hodor.
Yes.
So when Asshole wrote the books, there's no way he had it planned out that was going to happen.
Yes, he did. I read somewhere that he told the runners of the HBO show, look, this is what Hodor's deal is. He told them that. So he did.
Really?
Yes,
I believe it.
Right, they were saying that the way he writes the books, he writes the character. So he writes everything for Jaime from beginning to end. He writes everything from Hodor from beginning to end. And then he starts tying them together. So it would, to me, if that's true, his vision for Hodor is already finished. So he knew that was how they were going to get to Hodor now. You know,
if you think about it, I mean, every character serves a purpose. We get attached to them, but every character serves a purpose to advance the story, the ultimate story, which I mean, you have to get Bran to where he's got to go. So he knew all along that he needed a guy that's going to hold the door, right? So
right.
What better way to make you care about, like, who gives a fuck if this guy holds the door? That's why, as a good writer, he's a good writer, is that he made you care about the guy that holds the door.
It was pretty wild how popular Hodor kind of is. Hodor has been an ancillary character. All he says is one thing, but fans fucking love Hodor.
It's like Boba Fett.
Right. Yeah,
right.
During the episode, as he's getting a little flashback, and I'm sitting here and I was about to text Jason and Damon, like, I think Hodor might be my favorite character on Game of Thrones. During the episode,
I think Hodor might be my favorite character.
You know what Jeff did? Jeff bought Hodor's jersey.
Well, but isn't that typical Game of Thrones? Just when you look at a character and you love them, they fucking kill them.
Absolutely.
In the books... Supposedly, they didn't kill Catelyn Stark. They cut her throat. She can't talk, but somehow she survived the throat slicing and is down in the Riverlands and
Riverlands.
She's at Riverlands, raising an army and trying to get. Remember the first people we were introduced to that brought people back from the dead, the knights with no masters or whatever they were.
Yeah, that one rant, that one dude that.
Yeah, like, but you know, seen him
for a couple seasons, right?
Supposedly in the books, she's with them and they're raising an army someplace else, and
yeah, but there's no way that's going to happen in the series. I mean,
well, no, that was what they said.
Didn't we watch her die?
That's what everybody.
Yes, she's dead.
Well, that's what.
No, but did we watch
Jon Snow? We watched Jon Snow die and lay dead for 2 days. Don't tell me they can't bring somebody back.
We all knew he was coming back.
That is a good point.
We all knew he was coming back.
I cannot argue that.
But yeah, they were saying that she's down someplace in the book. She's someplace else. And everybody assumed that she wasn't going to be written back into it, but they dispatched Brienne to go get the uncle down there.
I thought for sure that the Jockin, whatever his name is, he sent Arya to watch the play, knowing full well that the play was about
to test her.
Oh, you're right, exactly, right,
100%. And I'll be like, I don't
did she
think
get she out of it. What did it do to her? Like, did it look, make I, realize that her
because the last year for her, they've been trying to teach her that she is nobody. They leave that life behind. She is the faceless person. You know, that's what they've been doing. And right, in watching that,
but you think you're obviously something, but nobody gives a shit about your family.
Well, no. They've been trying to teach her. Whatever they're the faceless people. That's right, how they get around.
Right, to be a
that you leave your past behind, and the past doesn't matter. You're, you know, this faceless person, and sending her to watch that play. Like,
but how does that teach her that?
No, it's not it's a test.
But I honestly don't think Arya is long for this faceless path. I think she is gonna. Right. I don't think she'll be able to fully renounce her past and will
right.
And basically is going to use this as training to be an assassin, and it's going to at some point will leave
to be a warrior for. I mean, look, they're getting the Starks back together.
Yeah, the Starks are getting the band back together.
right.
Predictions. Who died?
Wait.
This year.
Well, wait.
We only have a few more episodes left. Just quick prediction.
Five.
I think High Sparrow goes for sure.
I think High Sparrow and Ramsay go. I think those are the two big.
You think Ramsay?
I think Ramsay will. I mean, I think he's going to carry it on through till. I think he will lose. I don't know if we'll get to see him die until next year.
Right, but the Starks. I mean, the Starks definitely take Winterfell back.
Okay,
I would think
by
the end of this
either,
year.
Does Rickon maybe die?
Eh,
do you think he lives? I mean, they killed.
I think he lives because why?
I think he.
I mean,
dies
well, I mean, well, because I think now, like, it's now it kind of shows like Bran is a huge deal going forward. Like, he's not dying anytime soon.
And maybe that's one of the things I hate to say.
Rickon.
I hate that they ended it so soon, because it was kind of neat. The flashbacks that Bran was seeing with the guy in the tree was kind of neat backstory as to how.
How you could kind of see how things played out, but I think like now it seems like, okay, well, Bran warred by himself and went back and saw the. That's crazy that he saw the creatures, but I think now the old guy said, "You're now going to be the three-eyed raven." So now,
right?
So now I think he can
go back.
I think he is still going to be able to go back. The question is now, with what happened with Hodor, that he was. It's weird how. Hodor was always Hodor, but he went back and influenced them because they were saying hold the door but affected back then. So now, like, is there there's a weird possible time travel? Like, so now you think Bran can affect the past? Because remember the scene he went back and he yelled at his dad and his dad turned around.
No, but is it that he can change what's happening, or is it
I don't know that he can change it, but it's a weird.
You see what I'm saying? It's fate. You can't change
it. It's a paradox.
That's a good point.
As old Russ Cole would say, time is a flat circle.
Yeah.
Did we talk about the scene in the cave where the ice people. Oh, fuck. I can't even remember their names. The fucking White Walkers.
The Wickets.
The
White Walkers that you had a hard on about last week.
Yeah, the White Walkers.
now you can't even remember their names.
Well, no, but I mean, the big revelation is that the Tree Girls created the White Walkers
to
defend against man, and now the White Walkers are out of control.
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, look, that was huge because the whole point, you know, I mean, look, we didn't, like, where the fuck did the White, how did the White Walkers come to existence?
Right, what the fuck are the Tree Girls are doing in this? Well, now we know.
Yeah, right.
We created the monster. It's Ultron all over again. Yeah.
When she sacrificed herself at the end, and even earlier, she pulled out the little hobgoblin pumpkin.
Little pumpkin and threw him at him.
Well, sorry, Jeff, that's a nerd joke. I guess you didn't get it.
I didn't get
what's
it.
What's funny is that, you know, how...
All right, what else happened in the episode?
Well, look, y'all didn't even talk about the whole Greyjoy situation.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Where she stole all the ships with her brother.
Well, not only that, her brother mentioned his plan of going to Danny and trying to load up, but that makes me think that he was the one who burned ships that they had a couple episodes ago.
But oh...
So
yeah. Well, no, he wasn't.
He said.
Apparently, he can travel.
Well, look, he said he traveled the world. How the fuck did he know?
I'm going to burn your ships.
He burned
those
ships.
So that he can come and bring his own ships
and try to marry her.
Okay. You're talking about the uncle. Yes, I thought. Right. Yes. Okay.
I'm not talking about the cockless wonder.
Right.
So the whole Iron Isles thing kind of.
It really hasn't been that good, but I'm
It just got good.
So his sister, where are they going right now? Like, they took the ships. Where are they going to go? Are they going to try to go to Danny?
Join Jon Snow's crew,
or do they go to
Jon Snow's crew?
I mean, I guess we don't know for sure.
That's exactly what they're going to do.
Well, because no, I think
Snow has the land army, but now he needs.
They're not there.
No, John. In order to truly take, am I gonna go?
George R. R. Martin on the phone.
In order to actually, guys, in order to truly take King's Landing, you can't do it by land, and you can't do it by sea. You need land and sea. We already saw what happened when the sea battle attacked King's Landing, and it didn't go well, thanks to Tyrion, and that fucking. Awesome shit. It was one of the best episodes of Game of Thrones ever. You know,
Blackwater. Yeah, it was pretty good.
All right. You need both a navy and a land.
Right, but what happens when you have dragons?
And air assault.
Right.
You're coming at them all three ways. They're not there to defend against that.
Now you've got ground troops with her and the Dothraki. You've got...
And the Unsullied.
Yep.
Well, but I mean, I think Damon summed that up
last
best.
Week. Yes.
Last week was that the Unsullied will help them keep the
peace
once they take it, but the Dothraki are the animals that are gonna keep. You know, they're gonna roll over King's Landing and they're gonna stick the Dothraki on.
All of a sudden, make the whole story genius because she's right. She's got her peacekeepers now. Granted, they're not keeping the peace quite well in Meereen, but they're getting experience in the process, right? When Schmuckface and his wife, girlfriend, sister, that relationship, weird, are going to reach Jon Snow, they've got a naval
assault. Right. That's assuming they're going to Jon Snow.
Oh, they're going to Jon Snow.
You're right. They're going to take King's Landing, and then they're going to have
then
to...
Everybody's going to have to invade.
Although, wrong, if I'm writing this story... It's not about taking King's Landing. That's not the prize. The prize is the.
I thought this is called Game of Thrones, the Iron Throne. It's kind of
right. King's Landing is
no.
The key.
It's kind of a big deal.
Actually, no. The first
actually
is called Game of Thrones. The in series is called Song of Fire and Ice, which means it's not about taking Westeros. It's about beating the White Walkers, which means that they're going to choose not to take Westeros and, in fact, recruit Westeros to join them, and it's going to be
against the
fucking White Walkers.
Just stop and listen to this. Just stop.
You're just mad because I figured it out and spoiled it for you.
No, you did. You didn't figure it out.
I'm just mad because I ran out of Coors Light. But
all right, anything left from Game of Thrones?
I think I've heard it.
Yep. Oh, one last thing. Did you see the look Tormund gave Brienne this week when he yeah. learns on the horse?
That dude really wants to do her.
He's gonna have that great smile, like
that's yeah. awesome. Like, that's gonna happen.
It's definitely gonna happen. She definitely doesn't want it, but it's gonna happen.
That gives me, I don't know why, but that reminds me of like.
That sounds like typical Game.
Oh, shit. Actually, so here's my prediction on that. So, at some point there'll be a battle when they fight Ramsay's forces, and Brienne will be on the brink of maybe losing to somebody, and Tormund will save her life, and then they get it on.
We'll see. According to Billy in the books.
Oh my God! When they get down to the river run, they jump off the diving board and have sex.
Well, no, they run into Catelyn and her crew, and she wants to hang Brianna and her squire.
Oh, Podrick? That's not happening.
For breaking the oath, because remember she swore an oath to Catelyn that she was gonna. Protect everybody, and according in Caitlin's opinion, because she's carrying Jaime's sword, she's betrayed her. So she hangs Podlin and sends Brianna to go kill Jaime.
But now she's protecting her daughter, so that's not going to happen.
I'm with you. I'm just telling you what the book queers say.
All right. I'm going to give one more closing, just that's how we close shows. That's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on iTunes, Android, or Google Play, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Which is also where Damon gets his tweets. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, tweeters at Damon Donkeys.
Good night, Houdat Nation.